If you would please, Psalm 23. I was going to preach a different message this afternoon, but the Lord, as I began praying about it, I thought the Lord said, not that one. Not that one. Just to tell you what it was, maybe your pastor can preach it. It was on Christianity Today. Not the magazine, but the condition that we're living in. It's just been a burden to my heart as I travel the country the past 6 months, I think it is, honey. And we've seen the decline that America has taken in things of God, and we see signs for reinventing church and a church called Heath Church and a church called Harvest Church. And we saw one today. We went to find lunch across the way, and I won't say the name of it because this might be live stream. I don't want to offend anybody unnecessarily, but it didn't tell you what they believe. All it told you was where they are. And so we're seeing that happen. I was thinking about preaching that tonight, but the Lord changed that. I'm just going to preach a simple message tonight that I hope will be a blessing to you. Nothing really deep doctrinally, but I hope it will be an encouragement to your heart. I believe that it's important sometimes for us to be encouraged, especially God's people who are living in a time when God's other people, other sheep I have, he said, when God's other people are departing from the fundamentals. And I see that, as we see that happening, I see all the more the need not only for strong doctrinal preaching like we heard this morning, but also encouragement that is based on sound doctrine. Now, if you don't have sound doctrine, you can't have the encouragement. It won't be scriptural encouragement. It'll be this nonsense you see on TV. You can have your best life now, you know. You have to have truth, but you also need grace. Now, that's why we want to call our church Grace and Truth Baptist. You got to have them together. If you separate those two, you'll have death. Someone said, if you have only love without truth, you have, I just lost the word. This happens a lot especially after learning Chinese. That's my excuse. See? Love without truth is hypocrisy. And truth without love is brutality. You have to have both grace and truth. And what an explanation of grace this morning. I appreciate that. I noticed several years ago that it said, according to his mercy, he saved us. Not by his mercy, but according to his mercy, he saved us. But it says, we're saved by grace. There is a difference, and the words of God are important. Every word of God is pure. Not one jot or tittle must change. We must believe it as it is written. But having said all that, I want to preach really kind of a devotional type of message tonight. I hope it'll warm your heart a little bit. I hope it'll encourage you to love your Savior just a little bit more and trust Him a little bit more. As a Christian, I've been saved since 1996. As a Christian, I have discovered that sometimes I have to be reminded that I need to trust Him. I look back to that day in 1996 when I trusted Jesus to save my soul, and I realized, you know, I trusted Him to save me then, but sometimes it's a little bit difficult to trust Him step by step of the way. And I hope this message will encourage you to trust Him. Let's stand together out of respect for the Word of God. We're going to read this entire psalm. That sounds almost a bit scary, doesn't it? But it's a short psalm, 6 verses. In fact, it's so short that when I was in first grade, I memorized the whole thing. How many of you have memorized Psalm 23? Wonderful, wonderful. You know, I think it's good to see that. That reminds me of my home church back in Hawaii, Independent Baptist Church of Honolulu. My dad, of course, the pastor there. By the way, Dad is doing well. Dad and Mom are doing well. My little sister is doing well. My little sister is married, and she's expecting her first one. And I just want to say thank you on behalf of Dad for supporting him for all those years, because when you supported that missionary, you were supporting also the training of another missionary. Life continues, doesn't it? And the Word of God is a seed, and it produces life. That made me think of IBC when you raise your hands. IBC, I can't wait to preach when I get back home to Hawaii. In about 3 weeks, we're going back home. For about 5 weeks, and then we fly from there to China. When I preach there at that church, it is the only church that I know of that I can start a verse just about anywhere in the Bible, it seems, and they can finish it. Somebody can finish it. A Bible-literate church. Now, the theme of our home church there is Bible teaching and preaching. You know, while they're saying, the other guys are saying, the most eternal decision you ever make, or are you tired of doing church the old-fashioned way? Dad's theme has just remained the same for the past 20-some years. Bible teaching and preaching, and people come for that. And by the way, that's the best program you can have. that's the best incentive you can have to bring people to the house of God is the Word of God. If this thing here is not central, then we have nothing left. This has to be central. This has to be the main thing. Psalm 23, let's read it together if you can. I won't blame you because I used to be a sound man myself. And I know what it's like for the preacher to look back at the sound man like this. I won't do that to you tonight. We're only here tonight, so maybe I should do it tonight. Don't have another opportunity. Might be 7 years before we get back again. If you can quote it with me, let's quote it together. If you need to read it, that's fine. Let's start together on three to keep it simple. Are you there yet? By the way, are you there? Okay, good. Psalm 23, let's begin. One. I'm just checking to see if you're looking. Okay. One, two, three. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I think we can say amen at the end of that. How many of you can say, I have seen that passage true in my life? Amen. So we're talking to people tonight who know this from experience. Please be seated, and let's talk to God and ask Him to bless this time together. Father, we are thankful for the privilege of standing behind this sacred desk and preaching the Word of God tonight. Thank you for allowing my family to come back after these many years and meet this church that has helped us to serve you there in China. We pray that you would use the report to encourage them. Use the message from the Word of God to challenge and strengthen their faith in you. And Father, if there's one tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their good shepherd, I pray tonight they trust Him and know Him and meet Him and place themselves as a sheep under the care of the good shepherd. We love you, Father, and we thank you for the privilege of being here. Speak tonight, we pray. Glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and strengthen us through your word. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 23. The Shepherd's Psalm. Now, I don't personally know much about sheep by personal experience, and I'm actually thankful that I don't. I did have some friends in Jacksonville, North Carolina, about 15 years ago or so, and they were raising sheep for their 4-H club. And I got to lead a sheep with a, what do you call that thing? A leash? I don't know, a leash, I guess. And I led that thing. That sheep just stood there like this. You ever seen a sheep's eyes? They're big. Sheep aren't Chinese. They have big eyes. Just look at me like this. Said, come on, you dumb sheep. Come on. You stood there. Sheep are the dumbest animals for their size. I'm glad I don't know about sheep by experience, but David knew about sheep. David was qualified to write about sheep. He had been a shepherd. And so let's look at this psalm from the perspective of someone that knew about sheep. Notice in verse 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And I really believe that the entire psalm is built upon one word in this verse. If this one word is taken out of this verse, this psalm, we cannot take this psalm and claim it for ourselves. And the word is my. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, in America, I'm actually uncomfortable now pointing to myself like Americans, like I did growing up. Because in China, when we say me or my, we do this. We point to our nose. Isn't that funny? Me? Me? Is it me, Lord? Yes, it's you. It's me. Me. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my, whether you point to your nose or your heart, if you can say he's my shepherd, then all the blessings and all the promises of Psalm 23 are yours. If you can say the Lord is my shepherd. Now, can you say the Lord is my shepherd? Is he your shepherd? Psalm 23 is full of benefits, full of blessings. But if you can't say he's my shepherd, then you can't claim the psalm for yourself. You say, how can I make him my shepherd? Now, I know this is Sunday night service. Most of you probably say, but how can I make him my shepherd? You've got to become a sheep. You see, if you want him to be your shepherd, you have to be his sheep. And there's sheep and there's goats. And Peter tells us there's dogs and there's swine. Which one are you? Let's look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John 10 is somewhat of the parallel in the New Testament to Psalm 23, the completion of Psalm 23, the explanation of Psalm 23 in the New Testament. Because it is in John chapter 10 and verse 11 that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Look at verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. It was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. I think these guys might have had wax in their ears. I think he'd been telling them pretty plainly. I mean, he had raised the dead. He'd caused the blind to see. He'd restored lepers. All these were signs that the Jewish people were looking for in the Messiah. If the Messiah does these different things, that's the one. And he did those things. And still they said, if you are the Christ, if you're the Messiah, the anointed of the Lord, if thou art the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus, verse 25, Jesus answered them, I told you. Don't you love it when someone said, I told you. I told you. I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because, listen, Lord, watch this carefully. But ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. What does that imply? If you're his sheep, what will you do? You believe him. But ye believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep. Now here's the marks of sheep. My sheep. Hear what? Hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me. Now, when he said, my sheep hear my voice, he didn't mean it the way the faith healer said it when he said, God told me that if I don't raise $1 million for a hospital, he's going to take me home. That's not what he meant when he said, my sheep hear my voice. It's not, you know, Robert Tilton and all that stuff where I saw a 900-foot Jesus standing at the foot of my bed. How'd he fit in your bedroom? Hello? Anybody home? We're sorry, the number you've called. Now, my sheep, hear my voice. What's that mean? We listen by the Holy Spirit to what he teaches us in his word. He shall guide you into all truth. And how does he do that? Through the word of God. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the written word of God. He said, my sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they, what? Follow me. Now, I don't believe that you're saved by following him, but if you are saved, you will follow him. Amen. We have two little boys, Joseph and Samuel, and today Kristen went outside to get something from the car. Samuel, I hope this isn't undignifying the pulpit, but here's what Samuel did behind mommy. And he got up on the door. She closed the door behind him so he wouldn't fall at the screen door. And as soon as she went out, can y'all see it on that side? Here's what his face looked like. He cries his head. It's a really pitiful look he puts on. I think he knows it. He goes, he's only 11 months old, and he has the brain of a convict. He knows what he's doing. He's a con artist. I thought, you need to get your, you're still attached to your mother, you know? Well, you know what he's doing, though? He's following the one he needs. He's following the one he loves. He's following the one he knows more than anybody else. And if you're saved, if you're a sheep, you're going to follow him. You're going to follow him. And if you feel at all that you if that, that your fellowship has been broken or you don't feel close, you're going to do what Samuel did when mommy walked out the door. Yes. And if you're not bothered by sin that comes into your life, if you're not bothered by the sin you see out in this world, something is bad wrong. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. my Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them. I like that. No man is able. No man is able. No man, including me. Including me myself. I can't pluck myself out of the Father's hand. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So, a sheep. How do you become a sheep? How do you become his sheep? You believe him. You trust him. And then, if you are his sheep, you're going to follow him. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm so thankful that in 1996, I became his sheep. Now, when I was 7 years old in Jacksonville, North Carolina, I knelt down in a trailer in North Carolina, and I prayed, and I cried, and I asked Jesus to save me, but I didn't know what was going on. I mean, I'd seen people do this, and so that's what I'm supposed to do. When I was 17 years old, God began to work in my heart and show me, Nathan, you're lost. You've broken my law. You've transgressed my commandments. You have offended me, a holy God. You deserve judgment, and you deserve the lake of fire, Nathan. And I got on my knees, and I said, God, if Jesus Christ doesn't save me, then I'm going to hell. Yeah. What's that mean? He's my one and only. In Chinese, we say, Wei de jiu zhu. He's the one and only Savior. The Lord is my shepherd. Summer of 1996, Jesus Christ became my shepherd when I became his sheep. Now, are you his sheep? Is he your shepherd? Can you point back to a time that you know I became a sheep of Jesus Christ and he became my good shepherd? Can you say the Lord is my shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, we see that he is my personal shepherd. In the next part of verse 1, he is my providing shepherd. It says, I shall not want, meaning what? I will not lack anything that I need. Everything that I need, he will provide. Why? Why is this true? In Psalm 24:1, David wrote, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. In other words, God owns everything. The cattle upon 1,000 hills, the stars in the sky, all the pine trees in North Carolina. He owns it all. It's all his. Psalm 34:8 says this. Don't need to turn there, but just listen if you would. Psalm 34:8 says it like this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So God owns everything, and God is good. And number 3, he owns me. The Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, because he owns everything, and because he is good, and because he owns me, therefore, we can claim, I shall not want. Therefore, we can say this, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. Have you ever suffered hunger? I did this afternoon until we got to the Mexican restaurant. Oh, what a blessing. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. You're looking at a man that since 1996 has never wanted any good thing. Now, I've desired some things, but I've never lacked anything that I needed. I think about how God provided my wife for me. Before I met her, I worried about that. How many of you ever worried about that before you got married? Only one honest man only ever worried about getting married. The rest of you, I worry about you. Because when God made Adam, and Adam was there by himself, and Adam was looking at the giraffe up there, that's too tall for me. Well, the elephant on there. Her nose is way too big. Hippopotamus, that one's got a big mouth. Stay away from that. The Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him. How I claim that scripture before I was married. Now, I won't ask, but I'm afraid maybe the reason some of you didn't raise your hand is because, now this is just between you, I hope this isn't being streamed right now, but maybe the reason some folks didn't raise their hands is because they're worried about who they got married to. We won't talk about that tonight. I worried about that thing. I was there in China, and finally, in early 2006, I was in my apartment by myself, lonely, It's cold. North China. And I said, Lord, I finally came to this point. I said, Lord, if you don't want me to get married, if that's your will, that's okay with me. Because my life belongs to you. If you want me to get married, that's great. But if you don't want me to get married, my life is yours. You know, almost to the day, a month later, I met Kristen. You know, there's nothing that we need. If you're God's sheep, there's nothing in need He won't provide.
That's right.
My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Brother Payne, medicine. Brother Payne isn't there. Where did he go? He got raptured. Well, there he is. He's up. Yeah, he got raptured. There he is. Brother Payne met us in the restaurant today. Accidentally, I guess. You know, he and his wife hadn't met my family yet since 7 years ago. And he said, where'd they come from? I said, I picked them off the road somewhere. But that's not true. They came as a gift from God. And by the way, I mentioned this earlier, that we're in God's place where God wants you to be in doing His will, in His work, in His timing. God will bless you there. God gave my wife there. Our two little boys are born there. I got to pastor my first church there. One more lasting fruit there than anywhere else I've ever had. God's been good. They shall not lack. They shall not, His saints, it says in Psalm 34, verse 10, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Why? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is my providing shepherd. What's your need tonight? What is your need tonight? What is it that's bugging you? What is it that you need? Now, I'm not talking to you like Mr. Osteen, okay? Mr. Osteen says that to lost people. And he blends that in, lost and saved together. I'm not talking to lost people. I'm talking to saved people, children of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. What is your need tonight? What is it that you need so bad? He can provide it. And if you need it, He will provide it. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He is my providing shepherd. And He's your providing shepherd if He is your personal shepherd. Verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. What do we see here? He's my preparing shepherd. He prepares the things that I need. He prepares the places that He wants me to go. He says, He maketh me to lie down. Now, as David wrote this verse, I think he was thinking about sheep and how sheep sometimes need to be made to lie down. I'm told, I don't know from personal experience, I'm told that sheep don't sometimes naturally just lie down and rest when they need to. They will stand up and eat and eat and eat. They're Baptists. They'll stand up and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. And sometimes a shepherd needs to make his sheep lie down. Like I did Samuel this afternoon. Lie down. Give him that face. Lie down. He knows what lie down means. Sometimes he needs some encouragement. To do it. He maketh me to lie down. And you know, sometimes we Christians, we get so busy and we don't want to stop and rest and be still and know that He's God. Like Martha, we get cumbered about with so many different things. You know, Luke chapter 10. Martha had Jesus come into her house. And Jesus came in and all His disciples probably came in with Him. And she had the sweet tea and the cornbread, the black-eyed peas, and the enchiladas, and the tacos, and the burritos, and chimichangas, and the chalupas. I like Mexican food. And Southern food, too. And there it was, and she was busy pouring tea and wiping tables down. And Mary just sat down there in front of Jesus and just listened to Jesus. And the Bible says that Mary, she had a sister called Martha, or called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. And then Martha came by, I think it's about verse 40 there, and Martha came by, and she said, here's how she said it, you know. She said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? She was from England. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And the Lord said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. I think that describes many of us today. careful and troubled about many things. We're busy serving God. Martha was busy serving Jesus right there in her home. What a privilege that was. And yet she was cumbered about and she was troubled. And Jesus said, Martha, one thing, he said, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Sometimes we need to let the Lord just make us lie down like a sheep and just sit still and meditate on him. Focus our attention on him. Do you have a hard time doing that like I do? Am I the only one? As a missionary, as a preacher, I have all these things that I want to do in my head. There's things in my head that I want to do. Does that make sense? I don't want to do it in my head. I have it in my head already. I want to do it with my hands. I have all these plans, all these ideas, and sometimes my ideas keep me awake at night, and I want to say, stop! To my head. It just keeps going and going on. And it's hard sometimes just to sit still with my Bible. Now, this is a hymn book, but just sit still with my Bible and read the Word of God. Because you know why? I'm an American. You know what Americans do? We are the get-it-done people. Isn't that right? We're the get-it-done... Well, I'm afraid we have... Well, I won't say that because of your... I don't want to get your church in trouble, but... I dreamed, by the way, last night, I was preaching to someone who's in very high office. He was sitting there with his wife and two little girls. We're Americans, we love to get things done, but sometimes it's hard for us, because of that, it's hard to sit still and listen and wait on God. But it's in waiting. He said, in returning and rest, ye shall be saved. He said, wait on the Lord, and he shall strengthen thine heart. So he maketh me to lie down. He prepares the place for me to do that. And it says here that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, the very best place for sheep. Up there in North China, the land is dry. And I've seen shepherds feed sheep on land that I don't know what they're eating. And then you wonder why the mutton tastes bad up there. Tastes like the stuff they're eating. But our shepherd, he makes us lie down in green pastures, the very best fields. I think about sheep feeding on a field full of alfalfa. How many of you have ever just been curious and eaten alfalfa off the ground? Not very adventurous, huh? Well, I have been brave and I ate it off the ground. Tastes like alfalfa sprouts, which tastes like grass. Joseph said, "It's grass, Daddy." No, that's not grass. This is alfalfa. Don't eat grass. Some people smoke it, some people eat it. But here it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, the very best place. And our God provides the very best for us. Sheep need healthy, rich, green pastures, and saints need hearty spiritual feeding. And you ought to thank God that he has provided the very best for us. And I'm looking at one example of that right here. God has provided for our souls green pastures right here. Friends, we need to sit down and make time every day just to let him make us lie down in green pastures. Just sit still with the Word of God and feed on it and feast on the Word of God. It says, he leadeth me in verse 2. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Preparing shepherd. Shepherds led their sheep not only by directly leading them, but also by keeping them in their pen and their sheepfold and going out at various times of the year, preparing the land, getting it ready, making sure that there were not dangerous things there for the sheep. And he'd lead them out. In John 10, verse 9, the Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. We talked about that already. And shall go in and out and what? Find pasture. Find pasture. He takes care of our souls. He takes care of our spirit. He leads us beside still waters. And here, beside still waters, why is that significant? They say that sheep are afraid of running water. My wife and I have these philosophical questions. Why do we as humans like to see waterfalls? You ever think about that? How many of you like to see a pretty waterfall? Ah, I got your hands up on something. Good, 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 good. None of you get alfalfa, but you like waterfalls. Why do we like to see waterfalls? Someone says, it's pretty. Why? These are the questions that plague my kind of brain. And they say sheep are scared of running water. And so they said, what they say is that a shepherd would do is he would take rocks in a stream and he would redirect the stream or make a pool of water in the stream that was still and soft and calm so it wouldn't scare the sheep. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Isn't it wonderful that our God remembers that we are but dust? And even though he calls us to do some things that are very hard sometimes and very difficult, still he remembers that we are simply human flesh. And he is moved. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Thank God for that. He leads us beside the still waters. And our God, he can take the storms in life and calm them down. But better still, he can calm our soul down in the midst of the storm. That's what he did for the disciples. Before he calmed the storm, I believe he tried to calm them down in Matthew 14. He is our preparing shepherd. Look at verse 3. He restoreth my soul. Sheep sometimes leave the path that they were on. Sometimes they fall over, and the shepherd has to pick them up. Can you imagine seeing a sheep on its back? I heard a man talking. He said he raised sheep as a child, or his dad did, and he said a sheep falls over. It just lies on its back, and it kicks like this. Must look kind of weird. Can you imagine seeing a sheep doing that? Walk by, what's your name? Wooly. The sheep need the shepherd to come by and turn them right back up and set them right. You know, sometimes our soul gets out of whack. Sometimes our thinking gets, what's the word that Dad likes to use? I thought I wrote that word down, I didn't. Oh yeah, discombobulated. Sometimes our mind, our thinking about the Lord and spiritual things gets discombobulated. And we get off the track that God put us on as his sheep. And we need him to come by and restore our soul. Get us right back on track. Restore our soul. I'm so glad he does that. He restores. He refreshes. He brings me back. The song we like to hear says, he brings my wandering spirit back when I forsake his way. So glad he does. So glad he doesn't forsake it. In the past several years that I've been saved, I can look back, and I'm a young man, but I've been saved more than half my life now. And I can look back and I can say, I've failed him a lot of times. My soul has been discombobulated many, many times. But thank God every time my soul got out of whack, out of line, and my thinking went stray, and I even strayed a little bit from his path, he still came back and restored me. I'm so glad he did. He does the same for you too, doesn't he? Can you look back at times in your life and you say, I was out of line. God should have took me home, but he had mercy and he brought me back. I'm not the only one. I'm sure that story can be told time and time again in this room. He brings my wandering spirit back. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Where does he lead me? He leads me. That's wonderful. Where? In the paths of righteousness. He leads me where he wants me to go. He leads me in the way that is right. Why? Because I'm a good sheep? Because I have super double X wool. Because my horns are curly and shiny. Because I have no parasites in my ears and my nose. Because my little hooves are shiny and clean. No. Why does he lead me? For his name's sake. He doesn't lead me because I'm good. He leads me because he is good. I'm so thankful for that. And that's why when we do get off the track, you know, I should be walking this way, but I get off going that way, and he restores my soul. He doesn't do it because I deserve it. He does it because he's good. I'm so glad God doesn't love me because I'm good. He loves me because he is good. But he didn't save me because I'm good. I'm glad he saved me because he's good. He brings us back. He leads us. He leads us. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words of heavenly comfort from. He leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. It doesn't say an angel leads me, it says he leadeth me. Now, God does use men. Later on in the Psalms, he talks about how he chose David to lead his people like a flock, and he used Moses and Aaron to lead his people like a flock, and yet it is God that ultimately does the leading. Thank God for the man of God. But it's God that leads your individual soul. And when the man of God can't be there at midnight, when you're feeling depressed and you're feeling down, and you know you failed God that day, your heavenly Father, your good shepherd, is there with you, and he leadeth you. He leadeth me. He leadeth me personally. In Chinese, the word is qian shou. He holds my hand. Ta dai, ta yin dao wo. He leads me. I love that. The other day, we were at a friend's house down in South Carolina, and I was going to take Joseph out in the backyard, and the dad there, he said, there's some poison ivy out there. I said, okay. So here's what I did. We went out in the backyard, and I held Joseph's hand, walking much slower than I am now, of course. I held Joseph's hand, and I took him out in the backyard with him. Why? Because I didn't want him. He's wearing shorts and his little Crocs and a cute little guy, you know. And he's got his little boo-boos he's proud of on his knees. If you meet him now, he might show you his boo-boo on his arm. I got boo-boo. He's a real boy. I got boo-boo. But I took him out there, and I didn't want him to get into the poison ivy. So I held his hand, and I made sure there's no poison ivy where he was going to play. Why? I was leading him to protect him. Not because he really deserves it, but I love that little boy. And so I'm trying to protect him. I'm personally leading him. You know, that's how our God leads us. He leads us personally. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He's our preparing shepherd. Oh, thank God that he is. We're going to finish up very quickly here. Look at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. From the perspective of a shepherd, what does this mean? A shepherd, reading a book by a shepherd, he said that the valleys are the best way to get to the highlands where the sheep can feed in the summertime. The valleys are the best way. That's where the water flows. If you follow a ridgeline, there's no water up on a ridgeline. You follow the valley, there's water in there usually. There's shade to protect the sheep from the sunshine. And yet, in the valley, there are also dangers. Predators can lurk in the shadows behind rocks. I've been hiking in Hawaii at times, and I wondered what in the world is behind those rocks over there, behind those trees. Dark valleys. He says that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I am a super sheep. Right? That's not what he says, is it? He says, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He is my present shepherd. He's right with me. It's an amazing thing. I forget it sometimes. And I remember when I'm preaching something. He is here with me right now. I like to read A.W. Tozer, and Tozer had a book on the Holy Spirit, changed my thinking. And Kurt helped me so much. And he talked about how God, by the Holy Spirit, is present everywhere. Now just stop and think about what I just said. God is here, right now. When that truth hit me for the first time, I got on my face in my bedroom, and I said, God, you are here. And I didn't know how to handle it. And I don't know if we can always live with the full revelation of that truth all the time, because I think it would overwhelm us. And yet for the sheep who belongs to the good shepherd, the fact that he is with us all the time is a comfort. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We were out soul winning one time in Hawaii with the men, and I thank God that the men, that my peer group when I grew up was the men in our church, not of the kids my age. The men in our church. And we went soul winning. And like good Baptists, we went to get something to eat afterwards. And we went to McDonald's. Why Baptists go to McDonald's, I don't know. But we went to McDonald's and we were eating there. And I went to the restroom. And before I went to the restroom, I gave a tract to a man at a table. And then I went to the bathroom. And the guy got up and went into the bathroom after me. He was about this tall or so. White man, bald, big muscles like Arnold. Not quite as big as Arnold, but big man. And he came to him and he told me, I want to die. I want to go to hell. I'm going to go to the Marine Corps. I'm going to go to war. I'm going to kill. I'm going to die. I'm going to go to hell. I'm not exaggerating. I was a little bit nervous. I used to be a skinny guy. Hard to believe, I know. I used to be a skinny guy. And so there I was in the bathroom, didn't know what to do. And then Leo came in. Leo. Now, Leo's a man in our church that Dad led to Christ. And Leo is about as big as that pulpit. He's a Samoan. And Leo, his name is Maunga Leo. You know what Maunga means in Samoan? It means mountain. And mountain lion, Maunga Leo. He came in the bathroom. He heard that guy blessing me out. He said, he's a big guy, but he has a high squeaky voice coming like this. He came in. He said, hey, what's going on here? What's the matter? And that dude, he left. I love having Leo with me when I go soul winning. We go door to door. No one ever bothered me when Leo was there. I mean, I met some tough people in Hawaii, but not with Leo. No one ever bothered me with Leo. I was safe. I was protected. He was with me. I like to say, yeah, man, Leo, I try to keep on his good side. No. Try to keep, didn't try to let anything come between me and Leo. I felt safe with Leo. He says here in Psalm 23, verse 4, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Whatever you face as a Christian, whatever valley God leads you through, whatever dangers might be lurking there, it's okay. He's with you. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Man had some shirts made. He's a comedian, Christian man. He had some shirts made that had a picture of a sheep walking through this place with a sheep walking, you know, on his two hind legs. And there are all these wolves and lions and bears, and drool dripping out of their mouths and fangs, and their claws are out to get this little tiny little sheep. And the sheep didn't have a fearful look on his face, because the rest of that picture tells why. The sheep was holding Jesus' hand. And the caption said, he's with me. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm with him. I'm with him. Now, if sheep can have a voice, I don't know what it sounds like, but can you imagine sheep? I'm with him. Sheep look weird and geeky, so they probably talk weird and geeky. I'm with him. Listen, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Whatever I go through, when I have to go into places in the field that we're serving in, I say that because of the live stream, the field that we serve in, we face some things that you wouldn't think about here. This morning you prayed, someone prayed this morning, thank God that we serve you, or that we get to come here without anyone harassing us, without anyone saying you can't meet here. We meet you freely, God, and we thank you for that. And on my heart rejoice that you have that privilege here in America, but over there where we serve, you don't have that privilege. And every Sunday that I go into church and I stand behind a pulpit and I open a Bible, I live with the fact, the realization that someone could come in the back door and say, you need to stop. Passport number, visa number, address, phone number, and you're leaving the country. But I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What are you facing? What's in your valley? What shadows are looming over you? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's our present shepherd. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid, he said. I am with you always. Look at the rest of this verse. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Without going into great detail about defining the differences between rods and staves, which I found out is the perfect plural, or whatever it's called. English is terrible for me now, but supposedly I'm an English teacher. I used to be, and someday I will be again, but I'll need my wife's help, because Chinese has pushed a lot of the English out of my other ear. And so, but there's these two things, these two tools that a shepherd has, the rod and the staff. And they said that every Middle Eastern shepherd had a rod and a staff. And these two instruments were his tools for protecting his sheep. My protecting shepherd uses the rod and the staff to protect me, his sheep, against two things. Number one, he uses the rod and the staff to protect me against predators. Oh, do sheep have predators? We were out in California about 2 months ago, and we were coming down from Kings Canyon. What a beautiful place. And driving down at night, and it was pitch black. Only light out there was from our car and a few stars up ahead, up above. And we stopped to try to take a picture of the stars. Now, if you know me, you know I love to take pictures, and I'm always taking pictures. My mother-in-law says, what are you going to do with them? I said, I don't know. Sell them someday? I don't know. I love taking pictures. While we were out there, we turned off all the lights in the car, and we stood outside, and off in the not too far distance, we heard this. Now just close your eyes for a moment and imagine what. Imagine it's dark, and you're out in a place you've never been before, and you hear this. And then it was joined by another one. It was in stereo. And then it was joined by a third and a fourth and a fifth and more. And there were not just one. It was like one, two, three. A few over here, one over here. Coyotes. Now, dogs sometimes scare me. But coyotes? It's another story altogether, isn't it? Predators. Now, if I had been a sheep that night, I'd have been scared. Sheep have predators, wolves and lions and tigers and bears. But he said, I will fear no evil. Why? He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's rod and staff protects the sheep. David, remember David, when he went to kill Goliath, and Saul said, you're too little. And David said, God delivered a bear and a lion into my bare hands. And I love it. He says, I took the lion by the beard and I killed him. Now, how did he kill him? He took the lion by the beard with one hand. He must have hit him over the head with something else. Probably his rod. His rod and his staff, that rod and that staff, they comfort me. And they also protect the sheep against parasites. You say, how can a rod and a staff protect the sheep against parasites? The shepherd, they say, would take that staff, which is a long stick, and he would use the staff to separate the wool a little bit from the sheep on the skin and just look at its skin to see if there are bugs and parasites crawling around underneath the wool. The rod and the staff were used to check those things out, to protect against parasites. You know, our God also protects us through his word and by his Holy Spirit against predators, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and against parasites, bitterness that crops up in our hearts, and anger, and all those other icky things that come out. And so he give us the word of God to sanctify and cleanse us. Thank God for his rod and for his staff. Psalm 42, verse 6 says, deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Here's a sheep, a little geeky, weird, weak, dumb sheep. And he's walking and he sees a lion. And he sees a bear. And he sees a wolf. And he says, Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. And the shepherd says, okay, I have my rod and I have my staff. You're okay with me. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We're about to end here. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Just briefly, let me say this. Here's what I've read about this verse. I don't know if it's true or not. Your pastor, if I'm wrong, please tell me when I'm done. They say that table here can mean two things. It can mean, obviously, sheep don't eat at a table. It's talking about the feast. The shepherd would lead the sheep to good pasture land. But also lead them up to the tablelands. In Spanish, the word is mesa, the tablelands. And up there, there's good feeding up there. And they say, a shepherd wrote about this, he said that the shepherd would lead his sheep up to the tablelands. And that's what the word table means. It could be, it might not be, but it makes for good preaching, doesn't it? But he says, thou preparest a table before me. And whether it means providing the things that he needs or actually taking them to the tableland, it could mean either one of those, but here's what I want you to see. He prepares for us. He's my preparing shepherd. Prepares the way for us. I'm thinking about when we move back to our field and we've got to find a home. We have moved all of our stuff out of our apartment and give up our apartment. When we go back, we're going to live in a missionary's home. Missionaries on furlough. Live there up to a month, hopefully not that long, while we look for another house. We've also got to find a place for the church to meet, hoping to get a car when we get back. All of these things, and we're working about trying to get a crate shipped over there. We've got about 2 weeks before we fly to Hawaii and trying to get our visas secured, and I've got to get my passport back. I had applied for a new one. All these things that are just in my head and all these things that have to be done. But I know that he's preparing the way, because he prepares. He prepares. In verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely, I like the word surely. Certainty. Absolute certainty that these good things will follow me all the days of my life. It's been described as a sheepdog following the sheep and just protecting them and making sure they're okay. Like the German shepherd dog, the Australian sheepdog, following the sheep and protecting them. But there's also another application to this verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I don't want to gross you out, but sheep actually can benefit the land they've been on. If they're eating good food, then what they leave behind benefits the land. It fertilizes it. That's just the way God made things. And the way God made his people is that wherever we go, we should leave behind a trail of blessing. Isn't that true? We ought to leave blessing in our wake. Wherever we go, ought to leave a sweet savor of God's goodness. And then, of course, it means the pursuit. That God's blessing, his goodness and his mercy will be, certainly, pursuing us wherever we go. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I have days that I feel, it's been a blah day. But he says, all the days of my life. And then he says this, and this caps it all off, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This sheep, this psalmist who's writing as a shepherd, writing in the person of a sheep, he says, this shepherd that I've told you about, who is my protecting shepherd, my personal shepherd, my providing shepherd, preparing shepherd, my present shepherd, and all of these things, I'm going to stay with him. I have the promise that I will be in his house, in his sheepfold, all the days of my life and forever. And I can see the sheep that's being fed like this at the fence, looking at the sheep on the other side, who is not fed so well, who's fed in dark North China pastures. Dirty, rocky, sandy, no green grass. And that poor sheep is sitting there looking at the other side. And this sheep is on this side, and he's bragging, hey, my shepherd takes good care of me. And I'm going to stay with him forever. I'm going to be on this side forever. And this short sheep on this side is, I wish I could be on that side. Now, Christian, I know that you go through things just like I do that we don't like to go through. We go through the dark times. We go through the dark shadows, the dark valleys. And yet, our testimony ought to be, verse 6, the glad rejoicing that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He has taken care of me. He has saved me. He's kept me. And he's going to take good care of me no matter what comes up along the way. Do you have that confidence? David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, are you glad to be his sheep tonight? Can you say, yes, Jesus has taken care of me? If you can honestly testify that, would you raise your hand and say, yes, I can say Jesus has taken care of me. Good. Can you say, Jesus has led me, he's provided for me, prepared for me, protected me, he stayed with me? Can you say that? I know I got both hands up. Now, as a sheep who enjoys being his sheep and enjoys him being your shepherd, would you like to say to some other sheep on the other side of the fence that doesn't have the good shepherd, I'd like to say, I'd like you to come on this side too. How many of you would like to say, you know, I would love to be able to help other people come onto this side and enjoy this too? All right. Now, what are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Now, I don't know you. I don't know you personally. I don't know what you're doing. I told my wife this church has a radio station. They have a bus ministry. Heard the buses crank up this morning. Bless my soul. Told my little boy, they're going to go get little boys and girls and bring them to church so they can hear about Jesus. That's a blessing. The bus had the academy, had the children's ministries and the preaching, all these things. I don't know what you're doing personally, but let me say this. Let's be sheep who are glad that we have this good shepherd. And however sheep talk, tell other sheep about him. I mean, people that aren't his sheep yet. Because he works the miracle of transforming a pig and a dog into a sheep. A goat into a sheep. He can do it. But it's our job to say, bah,
let me tell you about my shepherd. I'm with him. Let me tell you about him. Bah.
Amen. Father, we thank you for the good word of God. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd. Thank you that we can say, we that know Jesus, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Lord, I preach as simply as I know how, as plainly, and I pray you'd bless your word. I pray that Jesus has been glorified, that he will be glorified through the word of God that's been given tonight. Bless each one of your people. Help your sheep to love you, trust you, and serve you. Delight themselves in you and brag on you. Our boast is not in ourselves, but in you, O God. Help us, please, to be a sheep, to be sheep that love and just rejoice in being yours. We do love you because you first loved us. Bless the invitation, we pray, Father, as the pastor comes and leads this time. Please work in this time now, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.